Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Gently say, to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me.
Sing. I hope you can sing this from your heart this morning. I know whom I have believed. We'll sing the first and last word.
Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we come to this church. We thank you as we celebrate this Valentine's Day that we have a greater love than any love on this earth.
Amen.
And that's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Lord,
we ask you, bless the service today in a special way, that you'd speak to hearts. You do a work in lives today, Lord. If there's a person you have that's lost, we pray that you come to know you before they leave this place today.
Yeah.
Lord, we ask you to bless the offering. We ask that you just take it, you use it for your honor and your glory, and bless us to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go and then men's Sunday, and then Kathy sang, and I guess it's my turn. But I found this song. I've been wanting to do this one for a long time, but it just ended up that it's on Valentine's Day. And to me, when I listen to this song, it does seem like it is a love song to our Lord and Jesus Christ. So just listen to the words of this song.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
sing it like you mean it. And I believe you did. And I believe all of our singers that does such a great job. It means it from the heart to sing. That's so important, isn't it? Live what we sing. Live what we preach. Live what we witness. You, this morning, in the Bibles, if you'd like to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, our text, verses 36 through 40. And speaking of those, I had to put the bulletin on the subject of how's your love life? Since this is Valentine's Day, maybe it'd be good just to kind of check up to see about that. How's your love life? In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, there was a certain lawyer that asked Jesus a question. And the question was this: Master, what is the greatest command? And Jesus said, I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And second, it's likened to this, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So we want to think about the subject of love. There was a popular song several years ago that said, what this world needs now is love, sweet love. And I believe that. I really do. The God kind of love we speak of this morning. And I thank God that He can help us to love people. And through Him, we can do all things. You say, that's not too easy for me. Some people that I know that has done me in along the way. But I tell you, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask for that. Amen. If He commands us to love, we can love. Because with every command of God is the omnipotent power of God to carry out that command. Don't you think that we can love Jesus all we want to? And He's told us that we're to love Him, to love one another, to love those that are unlovely. Now, we'll have to say, when we think about this song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's our world is not getting any better. Right. Our love is in bad condition. Our nation and our country, we need that love that we're talking about. It seems like that everything that is not nailed down is coming loose. Satan's busy pulling the nails out as quick as he can. And so our world is desperately sick. And the medicine that she needs most of all, I believe, is love. And it's amazing what problems could be solved, what solutions could be reached if we just had love. You know, our attendance problems in our churches could be solved if we just really love the Lord like we should. Yeah. Because where our heart was, our heels would follow, wouldn't it? Right. And I believe our attendance problems to be solved. I believe that our financial problems could be solved because we love the Lord with all of our heart, and we wouldn't have to be begged to give. And so our financial problems, thank God for the love that our people have, that they give. And I believe that our service problems could be solved if we love Jesus like we should. In other words, when it comes time to have teachers or nominate a committee or approach us on a job, I believe that if we love Jesus, that all of our service problems would be solved. I believe our evangelism problems could be solved about witnessing to lost people. Jesus asked Peter, said, Peter, do you love him? And he said, yea, Lord, you know. And he said, feed my sheep. And he didn't say, you got to love sheep or shear sheep. He said, the thing that you need to do, if you love me, you're going to witness for me, some people. I believe our church arguments could be solved. If we really love the Lord, I believe we could not only love God, but we could love one another. And so there's three words that is so wanted, seldom used, but often needed. Three words, and the words is, I love you. I love you. Have we told anybody that we love them? How's your love life? Now, when we preach on love, we must not preach it at the exclusion of God's wrath. Because, why? There is a hell. And there is judgment. and we must preach against sin, use like a sledgehammer when we preach against sin. Psalms 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. And I believe that. So we must preach about the issues of our day. We must preach against the liquor industry. We must preach against the homosexuals. We must preach against what the Bible says about same-sex marriage. We must preach about all the Bible. The Bible says we're to declare the whole counsel of God.
Right.
But we're to speak the truth in love, as the Bible says. There's a lot of issues today. Somebody said, you know, we've got a garbage disposal in our homes to take care of the garbage, but we've got also a garbage dispenser in our home, and that is TV. You can turn that thing on 24 hours a day. There's sin. It pumps dirt and trash. So we know that we've got to love people and take people as they are. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Amen.
God is love. Our greatest need is to be able to give and to receive love. In the Bible, Christians are commanded 55 times to love in the New Testament. There's a song that our youth used to sing, pass it on, pass it on. And when we've experienced love, the song says that we're to pass it on. Love is the first priority command. It's the first, Jesus said, the first and great commandment is this, to love the Lord, all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves. So that's what we are to do. It's a priority commandment. There's a song in our hymns which says, love is a theme. Love is supreme. Love. It's what this world needs. It's primary above all else. I believe it was in the prayer that John Davis prayed there a while ago, was greater love hath no man than this, and a man would lay down his life for his friend. So we love him, the Bible says, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. Aren't you glad he took the initiative?
Amen.
And with every command of God, as we said, is the power of God to carry on that command. This is primary above everything else. We love him because he first loved us. And not only is it a priority, it is primary, this commandment to love, but it's the preeminent gift. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. And you know what it is. And it says, love, hope, faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Because why? Because there'll be a time when our faith, you know, will turn aside. And hope will be realized. But we'll be loving throughout all eternity. Love is eternal. It's the preeminent gift. One Lord, one faith. And so, thank God, what the Bible says, 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have charity, or love. Have fervent charity. It's the priority gift. It's the preeminent gift. This thing called love. It is the proof of our sonship, of our salvation, because the Bible says in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love. Amen. That's an identifying mark.
Amen.
How's your love life this morning? It's greater than anything in this world. And love is the greatest aid in winning people to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Love will woo people come to Christ. Love them into the kingdom. Henry Morehouse preached once in Chicago in Lytle Moody's church, and somebody said to him before the message, now nobody's ever done this to me, but they came up, you know, to Henry Morehouse and said, Ike Miller is here today, and he says he's going to pistol whip you out of town if you preach today. And so he said, I've got to go on with my message. And he preached on the subject of God's love. John 3:16, I think it's John Wesley, founder of Methodism, preached over 3,000 times on you must be born again. Somebody said, buddy, preach that message all the time, you must be born again. He said, because you must be born again.
Amen.
Henry Morehouse got up and preached on love during this message. There, an old white miller. He said, preacher, you've done it now. He'll get you like he said he would. He's as mean as sin. And so Morehouse said, I believe I preached what the Lord laid on my heart. And said that the old white miller, he wheeled around. He headed out of there, you know, and went down the street. The lady up in the saloon, you know, up the stairs said to him, said, come on up, let's have a party. He just set his face to the plant, just kept going. Through the streets and out into the country, and went to his home where he and his wife lived, little children. And he went in, knocked on the door, children run under the bed. He was mean, this father was. Here was his wife in a little calico dress. And she said, children, this is your dad. So she let him in. And he said something that he'd never done before. Ike Miller said, woman, we're going to pray. She knew he'd really come in drunk that night. She never knew him to do that. And so he got down there and they prayed, and he thought of a little prayer. He tried so hard to pray. It was like so many times it is for us, you know. He said, Lord, Lord. And then he thought of what his mother taught him, his little child. It went like this, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, forgive my simplicity, and bid me, Lord, come to thee. And Ike Miller was gloriously converted.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God's able to save all
of us?
Come unto him, no matter what they've done. And I tell you, he's for the down and out as well as the up and out and out. He can save all of us. Call upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So love is the proof of our sonship. And then love is the path, P-A-T-H, love is the path upon which Christians must walk. If you go to Ephesians, you find a word that continues to occur there, and it's a little four-letter word, walk. And it says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. You know, Enoch walked with God and was not. God took him. He was translated, the Bible says, caught up into heaven. He walked with God. Only two people in the Bible where it says they walked with God. One of them was Enoch, and another was Noah. It says that Noah walked with God. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk you.
Amen.
Walk. We don't live by perks and hiccups. The Bible says it's a walk.
Right.
It's a daily walk with Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians, several times there in Ephesians, it uses the word walk. And we could get a little Bible study and say, let's take a walk. Maybe you know, light walk, you know, when it gets a little warmer. Maybe go to Family Life Center and walk. And you know, that's the illustration of the Christian life. Ephesians 4:1 says, the word is the walk. And then the Bible says to walk worthy. It says, and then again 4:17, it says walk as Gentiles, walk not as Gentiles. And then it says walk in love. And then it says also in Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly in this world. Walk circumspectly. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. So take the provisions and you can just go through it and you'll find that little word. Walk. Thank God. Further, let's take a walk. The path upon which every Christian is to live is a walk. It's a walk with the Lord. Aren't you glad? Thank God we can walk with the Lord, talk with him. He can tell us we're his own and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. Are you glad you're walking with God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Thank God. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He, He can come into your heart and one day forgive you of your sin. He still forgives of sin. Thank God for that relationship that we can have with Him. It's a walk. It's a walk, Milton. It's a walk, Brother Jim. It's a walk. Thank God for that daily walk. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, having fellowship with Him. A walk illustrates and tells us about it. It's a walk, fellowship with God. And then love is a prescription for happy homes. Did you know that? It's a prescription for happy homes. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. A guy once came, by the name of Harry Ironsides, who was pastor of the Moody Memorial Church at that time. And this man said that, Brother Ironsides, I'm afraid that I love my wife too much. I've just got a problem. I know, and I just need you to help me. He said, I just almost worship her. And Dr. Ironsides, he said, well, do you love her as much as Christ loved the church? Sacrificially, sanctifying, gave his life for the church. Do you love her that much? He said, oh, no. He said, well, don't worry about it. Short counseling session here. Love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. That's a prescription for a happy home, isn't it? Right. And then in verse 28 of Ephesians 5, it says that we're to love Christ. Love our wives as our own bodies. Love her as our own bodies. You know, there's three main causes of divorce. We studied our Sunday school lessons on adultery, on divorce. Three main things it says is communication, finances, and sexual problems. And so a lot of it is selfishness, which can be overcome by sacrificial love. Love is a prescription to have a happy home. And we can't manufacture ourselves this kind of love, this agape love, this godlike love. Brother Jim talked about the five love languages. He talked about friendship love. He talked about agape, or godlike love. John 3:16 love. And how can we do that? We can't do it within ourselves, folks. There's some people it's hard to love. Do you know that? But God says to love one another. God says, you know how it is? It's through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first word? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the Bible says in Romans 5:5, that the Holy Spirit is shed abroad. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives and abides within every born-again, blood-bought child of God? Thank God. He's in me. He's in you. Where on earth does God live today? In the Bible, we find that God lived in Aaron. That was His primary home. In the temple, that was God's pattern. And then Jesus was God's perfect house because the Holy Spirit lived in Jesus. Thank God the Christian, born-again person today, 20th century Christian, 21st century, we know that we are His permanent house. He's moved in. He's not going to move out. Well, I'll tell you not that your body is the Holy Spirit, but you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And John 15 says that He's going to abide forever. He's there. That's His permanent home. He's not going to move out. But we go out to be with Him one day. Thank God. Thank God for that. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. And then love is the primary gift. None greater. None greater than love. First John, 1 Corinthians, I talk about that. Greater than anything. First Corinthians 13 says, if we speak with the tongues of angels and have not love, it doesn't amount to anything. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels, and have not charity or love, I'm become as a sound of Christ or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And it tells us here about love as the primary gift that he gives. It's greater than great oratory. It's greater than stirring speech. Somebody, golden tongue orator, you know, get up and make a dissertation. If you don't say it in love, it amounts to zero, zip, nothing. It's just empty words. There's a story to illustrate that of a famous actor and a humble preacher of the gospel. And it said they were at a social gathering. Somebody was wondering what they could do to maybe pass off the time. And it was suggested that these two, the humble preacher of the gospel and the actor, would quote the 23rd Psalm. And so they started out with the actor, and he quoted the 23rd Psalm with perfect pronunciation. He didn't miss a word. He didn't make a bobble. And all the people clapped. They were so stirred by it. And then the preacher, who had walked with God for so many years, got up and quoted the 23rd Psalm. Not in the same way, but he quoted it, and people were blessed, and it said that there was tears that come down their eyes because of this preacher. So what was the difference? Love. We speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not love, it's nothing. And then it's greater than the gift of prophecy. Notice that. He said that though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, it profits me nothing. If I get up here, if I was like a Isaiah, and I got up here and I could prophesy the future, I could foretell, I could predict. The Bible says, if you don't have love, if you don't have love, it is just nothing greater than prophecy. Love is great. We can proclaim great truth, but if we don't have love, it's just absolutely nothing. And then it's greater than knowledge. Paul also says, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. It says that we could know, book learning. We could know, have all kinds of great knowledge of things. Heard about one man that read the 33,000 pages of the Encyclopedia Britannica. But we can have all knowledge. We could unpick all the hidden mysteries. But people don't care how much we know unless they know how much we care.
That's right.
And so it profits nothing. And then said it's greater than faith. If we have all faith that we could remove mountains. If we go here to Bays Mountain, or Tulsa Mountain, Buffalo Mountain, suppose we could speak to that mountain and say, move, then disappear. If I do that, but didn't have love, the Bible says it's nothing. And then large gifts. So it says here that I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give all that I have to the poor. He said, profit me nothing. If you don't have love, oh, how love is so primary. So it's got to be motivated by love. That means nothing. Then it's greater than martyrdom. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profit me nothing. You say, now who would do that? Well, the cultists do. The suicide bombers, motivated by hate, ISIS, these they give their body but they don't have love. It's hate. But if we do all of this, it's greater than martyr. And then we see, and I'm closing, verses 4 through 7, 1 Corinthians 13. And I love this chapter. I love chapter of the Bible. So we need to try and experiment. Try and experiment. Where it says charity or love, first, I want to look at this, 4 through 7, 1 Corinthians 13. And put the word Jesus there where it says charity or love. Jesus suffers long. Jesus is kind. Jesus envies not. Jesus vaunts not himself, is not puffed up. Next verse. Verse 5. Jesus does not behave himself unseen. Jesus seeketh not his own. Jesus is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Verse 6. Jesus rejoiceth not in iniquity, but Jesus rejoiceth in the truth. Now, listen. Jesus leaveth all things, and so forth. But now, I want to substitute in this experiment, I want to substitute the word love for I. I. Notice verse 4. I suffer long. I am kind. I envy not. I vaunt not myself. I am not puffed. I do not behave myself unseemly. I seek it not. See how unlike Jesus we are? We can put Jesus there where it says charity. If you put yourself, it is powerfully convicting. I want to do like the old publican in the parable. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Those Kenneth Packers, it is not these. And so, first of all, we see the permanence of love. How it unlaces. It outlaces everything in all eternity. Love is going to remain. It's going to endure. It's going to conquer. It's going to do the job. This week, a lot of folks said, could we make love tangible in our own lives? Could we make that phone call to some lonely person? Could we express, you know, something? Lady, this week, you know, talked to her over the phone. I give God the glory. But I was able to minister to her over the phone just by just a simple little word. Words mean so much, don't they? Words are so important. Words. So make love happen. Do a little something for someone. Bake a cake. Tell them it's your time. She can do the best on that. So express gratitude to somebody. Roger Hammerstein, he said, a bell's not a bell until it is rung. Song's not a song. Tell his son, love wasn't put in our hearts to stay. Love isn't love. We give to one. Let's stand together. Make that large upon Dr. R.G. Lee preached that famous sermon, Payday Someday, over 1,200 times. Black preacher came up to him and said, Dr. Lee, he said, I'll take that and lodge on you. I'll lodge. Like you could enlarge on something, R.G. Lee said, because he was a master speaker. And so, take it for what it is. This morning, I wonder if you want to make love tangible this week. If you want to do something for somebody. If I could help somebody along the way, that my living would not be in vain. If you're here today, you need a relationship with Jesus. You know today that you're not a Christian, I say you couldn't say it. But if I die tonight, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. You can know that. You can come and make it right. Make your election and call him sure, as your Bible says. Give your heart to Jesus. He'll come into your life, forgive your sins, save your soul. One day, he'll take you to heaven. He'll help us to live a Christian life. You need to be saved, you come. You need church membership, you come. love to have you. We'd be so grateful for you just obey God. Whatever he says to you, do it today on this invitation. If you'd just like to come publicly and bow your tongue, say, preacher, I want to make love passionate. I want my life to display and to show the love of Christ through me, that God would work through me as you'd like to. As we sing, as the hymn leads us, the pianist will play and the organ. I'll be standing here before the Lord's Supper today. Will you come now? Come to Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.